pick you up 10 copies. You know how we do it, family. The Magnetic Project Manager coming to a store near you if it's not already there. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready to uncover the master keys that can hold your project to a success? No, I don't even like that. How about this? Are you really, truly ready to uncover the master keys that hold the secret to victorious project journeys? If that's you, you want to stay tuned to this episode. If you're new to the channel, I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means it. Today's episode is entitled Seven Keys to Project Management Success. Again, seven keys to project management success. If you don't know how I do it here, family, we just have a seven-point framework. After that seven-point framework, I'm on my way. Let's jump into point number one. Point number one is called strategic blueprint. Huh? Yes, strategic blueprint. See, if you don't have a plan, then you plan to fail. If you plan to fail, then you're failing the plan. You'll catch that pretty soon. Just slow that down, hit that back button, you'll catch up what I'm saying. But seriously though, family, having a strategic blueprint, that just basically meaning having the ability to forge a rock solid foundation through the project planning, setting clear scope, setting clear goals, setting clear timelines, setting clear resource allocation. Can you kind of understand where I'm going as I'm repeating the word setting clear? A lot of times we don't set clear, we set mud. What does that mean, ED? That means that we say, I don't know how many people I'm gonna need, and I'll just wing it. Well, okay, that's fine, but why not plan to see, hey, if I need 10 resources and you realize, hey, I probably need more than that, you'll realize that through the work and through the planning and who can do what. So, and being able to set a solid scope will always lead you into a better place. I remember, let me share a story with you. I don't know, I'm just in story time mode all of a sudden. So, got a new project, super excited. I was like, yes, I've been waiting to work on this project because it had something to do with applications, and I love applications and learning about, you know, I'm not saying about the coding aspect, but just how the interface of how applications are built and everything. So I was super excited, got the charter, looking at the charter, got the business case, wanted to kind of view that and see if there was anything when I engaged the team that we could build off of. So I'm looking at the business case, and there's nothing in there. I'm like, okay, this is gonna be fun. So I get the charter and I said, okay, well, let's work. I'm gonna work with the sponsor to kind of add more to the charter. And he just flat out said to me, he's like, look, Edward, I really don't even know what to tell you. He said, this is gonna be one of those what we call seek and find projects. I was like, what is a seek and find project? He was like, we're gonna seek and hopefully we can find how to build this application out, because we don't have the expertise to do it. And I was like, well, why can't we hire consultants, and why can't we do this? And it started opening his eyes up to say, oh, well, yeah. So I was like, and he was like, how did you know? I was like, well, I just kind of started throwing questions out there to challenge what the regular dogma is, you know, most of the time people will say, well, this is how we always done it. And if you've been following me, you know I hate those words. And I know that's a strong word, but I dislike those words when someone say, this is how we always done it, when you try to change it up on them. So anyway, I digress. But the point I'm trying to make, family, is having ability to set these clear goals and set clear scope is really going to help you in the long run. Let's move on to point number two. Point number two, fluid communication. What does that mean? Being able to be transparent. I know a lot of times in projects, we like to hide details because we're afraid of what the sponsor is going to think, or if we got to flip our project. This always tickles me. It tickles me so much. I feel like Tickle Me Elmore when it comes to this, when all of a sudden, you know, you have to flip your project from green to yellow and everybody is panicking. Like, why is your project yellow? He's like, well, because we lost a resource. Oh, okay. And I said, that resource was very important to the project. So until we can get the next resource up to speed, I flipped the project to yellow to ensure that we're giving this resource proper time at the same time, letting you know, hey, this is a timetable. We still got to keep it moving. So the ability to have fluid communication and being transparent and ensuring that the stakeholders is in sync with you. Like I literally call it, the stakeholders should know just as much as you know, meaning that because you're articulating out where you are in the project, where you plan on going, and any roadblocks and or impediments that are in your way. Let's move on to point number three, leadership brilliance. Listen, when you are leading a project, you are not managing a project. You are leading a project, and you have to have the ability to channel your inner leadership to set inspiring examples, ensuring you're motivating your team, and make calculated decisions really on steering the project towards a ultimate success. Point number four, risk mastery. Listen, I'm gonna dig deeper into risk and issues one day, because I'm starting to get more, you know, passionate about risk and issues, because I see the greatness of being able to identify risk ahead of time. Not saying that I haven't, I've always done that, but I want to dig deeper. I want to learn more. Like I said, I'm always consistently trying to learn. I'm not the master guru or project management. I'm just one that enjoys it so much. I just love sharing it with you guys. But anyway, risk mastery. Being able to identify potential roadblocks. It's almost like you seeing around the corner. Having the ability to see it. I mean, when you see around the corner, having also the ability to analyze the potential impact. Now, we know a project is unique in its endeavor. However, through the experience of leading projects, you may be able to identify certain things within that project that may, as we say, throw a red flag, and you like, we probably want to put this in our risk register and kind of watch this. Because I remember, you know, a project that I led before, and what happened was something similar. And we didn't have this certain thing in place, and this happened, this was the outcome. So through leading projects, you start getting better with risk, with your risk management aspect of things, because now you're really watching. You know, a lot of times people don't like to put a lot of risk down. I do, because you never know what could come your way. Point number five, resource optimization. Listen, you have to be a skillful person to manage your resource. What do you mean by that, Ed? Well, because if your project becomes, if it used to be a priority, now maybe be bumped down, you have to be flexible with the resources that you have, and you have to know when to put the pressure on and pull back, or you may have to step in and actually be a stakeholder and do some of the things that maybe they were doing to assist until they can come back on board and help. So being able to leverage the resource optimization and knowing when to engage resources and when to really let them go and do what they need to do so they can, you can buy more, get more of their time back. Let's move on to point number six. I'm gonna call this watchful eye. What I mean by that. Listen, family, when you are leading a project, being able to monitor any deviations and have strategies to adjust them as they come is going to be impairment. It's going to be something that you need to focus on, family. And the reason why I say that is because that, you know, one of the biggest thing in monitoring and controlling your project is ensuring that nothing just all of a sudden comes out the blue. Like, we shouldn't be surprised when we're leading our project. Now, there are going to be things that come up that you can't control, but I am only talking about the things that you can control that are within you. You can't control a resource deciding to leave the organization or deciding to leave your project. You can't control that if someone is trying to add more scope. Wait a minute. Yes, you can control that. You can control that by having them go through the change control board. But honestly, but on a serious note though, family, there are certain things in a project you just can't control. So you have to be adaptable and navigate effectively. Let's move on to point number seven. It leads me into flexibility and agility. Listen, being able to embrace constant change and have the ability to be flexible That's my foundation. Like, if we're going in a certain direction of a project and I'm seeing it's just not working, like, why are we going to keep doing the same thing to expect the same results? I think they labeled that insanity. Now, listen, I don't know about you, but after I keep doing the same thing and not getting different results, getting the same results, something has to change. And that's one of the things, family, you have to always be willing to adjust and adapt. I want to throw in a bonus, of course, stakeholder collaboration. Listen, this just basically means, family, engage your stakeholders. They are part of the project. You do know that. Like, this is under the initiating phase. The first thing besides the charter is what? Identify stakeholders. So, family, as you're leading your project, make sure the stakeholders is consistently engaged. Okay? Until next time, I'm out.